Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
It's Willie and D-Mace here on a Friday. 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game, Nashville.com, The Game Nashville app. So many ways you can listen to us. I didn't even cover them all. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. We got them all. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Nick Frazier with us again behind the board. We've got a lot of fun topics today for you. A lot of NFL stuff, some Titans stuff, training camp. Cranks up next week. Mm-hmm. Mitch Light will join us to talk some college football a little bit later in the show. We'll have Ask D-Mace today. So we're excited. This is going to be good. D-Mace, what's happening?
Nothing. I got to – it's not necessarily a problem, but, you know, I'm just, like, irritated right now.
Uh-oh.
And not at anyone. Not
on Friday?
Either one of you. Yeah, it's Friday, and, you know – I mean, you shouldn't be irritated on Friday. It's a happy day for me. Anytime I wake up is a good day. But I'm irritated today for this reason. When and we've all experienced this at one point in time. And I may have even done it to other people. When you send somebody a message asking them questions, and y'all are like in the flow of a conversation or whatnot, and you ask that person or the group a question, and nobody answers it. They just leave it there. And you're trying to figure out, like, we've just been, you know, having a conversation back and forth for the last 2 or 3 minutes. And I just sent a message 50 seconds after you sent your message. Why aren't you answering my questions that I'm asking you? Like, it's there, plain and simple. It's like, I don't understand why people do it. Why are people so scared to just answer questions nowadays? You know, it's just, it baffles me. It really does. And like I said, I may do it to somebody, but what I don't do is this. When I resume a conversation, I will then answer the question that they last put down. I answer the best that I know how. You know, I give them an answer. But I don't then look at it again and then don't answer it again. That freaking irks me. That's not proper etiquette, is it? Is that proper text etiquette?
I don't believe so. I mean, that's every day for me when I try to schedule a guest or somebody. I don't get a response until like the following day. I'm like, well, kind of need to respond last night. But it's not proper etiquette.
This world has developed this disease of selective doing things or selective answering or selective remembering. This world has gotten, you know, really bad at that. And like I said, I do it to people also, but it's not like.
You notice I'm being quiet over here.
Yeah, really, I've done it before.
Might have been that guy.
But that's what I'm saying. I can admit if I've done it before, and I've done it to people before, but what I don't think I've done is when I saw the message, like now when I'm getting ready to text this person back, I answer the question that was last on the text chain. I don't then start something new and then look at that and don't ever answer it. That freaking irks me. That irks me, Willie.
There's still a lot of flaws in the texting
system. There's no flaws in the damn texting system. It's just like me talking to you right now. That's how texting is, Willie. Me talking to you right now.
Don't you think we lose something not having a human conversation?
Of course you do, but nobody wants to have a human conversation no more, especially hard questions.
This is what I'm getting at. Yeah. Like, Erin Donick, she does do some texting now, my wife, but for a while she would be like, I'm not texting. Too much is lost in the text. I want to have a conversation.
Right. She is absolutely right. We need to go back to just talking.
I did an experiment in high school. My cell phone that I have, my smartphone, I got rid of it for a week, and I bought a flip phone. And I called everybody on my phone because, like, I couldn't text.
Because you couldn't text,
And they're like, why are you calling me? I was like, I got a flip phone. What do you still got a flip phone for? I was like, I just have one. Is that a problem? We had a nice 20-minute conversation, everybody I talked to.
That's good.
I think that's what we need to start doing is implementing more flip phones.
I think you we're here where we are. There's going to be texting. There's going to be different ways of communicating. But try to carve out the value of a real conversation. That's why we have these shows, right? We don't text our show.
We don't text shows. You know,
you can still get the old-fashioned phone out and call us and have a conversation. It's a better show.
Exactly. 615-737-1025. See how easy that is?
That's what it's about.
12:30, ask an email. You can do that.
Ask an email. You can call and ask.
Yeah.
Instead of texting, which I know why a lot of people text, because they're probably at work and time. And I get it. But if you're able to call, let's today, Friday. What is today? July
19th.
July 19th, 2024. Let's start this trend of picking up the phone and talking. Let's start that trend, people. Let's get that trend. Y'all get all these silly ass trends going every day. Silly trends. Trends that hurt people. Trends that make people look stupid. Just to get it. Let's start the talking trend. Let's start it, man. So let's start it here on these airways. 615-737-1025. Let's start the talking. Y'all want to talk about sports? Get on here and let's talk about it. No more texting. Okay? I know. Listen. If you are at work, you can text.
You can text.
That's your excuse to text. Or you're in a meeting and you're sort of listening to it.
Life is moving fast.
Yeah, life is moving fast, so you can text. But if you are available to pick up that little device that we call a telephone, pick it up, you know? Pick that device
up. You think anybody will call us from a landline today?
And just pick it up, you know?
I can make that happen.
Dial it, you know? Dial the phone. Download number.
Okay.
September number.
This will be, if you call us today, we will really have an appreciation for you. Caller Appreciation Day. If you call, 615-737-1025. We'd love to hear from you.
For the record, though, if I do call you guys at 10:30 at night, I hope you guys respond.
I mean, if you call me at 10.
I'm just going to just neglect the texting part now and just call you guys whenever.
Do y'all understand this? If you call at 10:30 at night and I'm up, I will pick up because I'm like, something's probably wrong. But do you think Alexander Graham Bell, when he decided to invent the telephone, even though there was, you know, I'm not going to get into that. But did he ever think, well, one day we'll be texting and people will just forget about picking up the phone that I'm inventing. People are forgetting about, he thought they would never forget about that. The phone would never become obsolete. Like picking it up and talking, hello. Alexander Graham Bell.
What would Alexander Graham Bell think of how we communicate today?
He would think like, y'all out of y'all rabbit's mind.
What do you think of FaceTime?
He'd be like, man, see, FaceTime is cool.
Yeah.
FaceTime is cool.
The Jetsons did the FaceTime before.
Yeah, the Jetsons was on it before
anybody
was on it. Yeah. The Jetsons were on it. They were doing it before anybody.
Yeah.
You know, so, but let's start this trend. Let's start it. Somebody make a meme. Take a picture of me, Nick, a meme with me holding a telephone, and we're going to post it. Like,
wait, we have to get you like a big one with a long cord that's all tangled. Let's get
exactly. Yeah. Let's do that.
Circa or a big, huge antenna.
the brick.
The big brick.
The silver brick. Yeah.
Put me next to what car was that? Put me next to an Audi, 1985 Audi, red. Let me lean against it with the big telephone. Use that as a meme. Let's get back to telephone talking, people. Let's get back to
okay,
it.
Okay, we have our first text of the day. What's a landline? Oh, boy.
But I want to start that meme back up. Let's start that trend back up. Pick up the phone. I love it.
I love
you guys
it
got one.
Oh, yeah. All right. Gary has called.
There we go, okay, Gary.
Let's see if Gary can set the tone for the show.
Yes.
All right, Gary, welcome in.
Hey, guys. I couldn't agree 100% more with you guys. I don't listen to talk radio no more because it's text radio. When Jared gets in an argument with a normal person, that's what makes the show.
This is the problem with cell phones.
Somebody's got to say, Mason, this is the problem why we don't talk, because it can cut off on you. You got a point there.
Gary makes a great point.
My man Gary, yes.
Yeah. He makes a great point that I do think you lose something when you read a text and then you argue with the text.
Exactly.
And you're not having a back and forth conversation, mm-hmm. a debate back and forth, a yeah. discourse.
Yeah.
That's much more interesting to listen to than you read the text and then the texter texts back and then you read the texter texting back. That's not as, because it's the same person's voice the yeah. whole time. It doesn't, you lose something there.
Yeah, you lose a yeah. lot.
So Gary, I mean, Gary is on to something. So yeah. Gary, thank you for calling, even though ironically.
Yes, the phone.
The phone.
I just want to start.
He wasn't on a landline. See, yeah. if he was on a landline, that
you're not
was,
losing exactly. connection.
But Gary's you're not got, losing a landline.
Correct. Gary's got things to do, though. Yes. He's got places to be. Thank but you, we Gary. Appreciate him taking yes. a minute to yes. to make that point. All right. So yesterday, speaking of the text and the phone line, we got a lot of feedback from Titans fans mm-hmm. on the early, and these were in a category that I think is fairly specific at this point. Titan PSL holders in the old stadium, the current stadium, that are now looking at what the prices are and deciding what they want to do in the new stadium. Is that fair to say? That was yeah. most of what we got yesterday, because those are the people that are sort of in the process. And we kind of threw it out there of, have you started to look at the process for what things look like in the new stadium? And what do you think? We got a very consistent answer from a lot of fans who are, in a lot of cases, day one PSL holders from the old stadium. I keep calling it the old stadium. It's still the stadium for the next three seasons, mm-hmm. it looks like. But they, almost to a person, said, man, the hike in the PSL number and then the hike in the actual ticket prices is pricing me out. And we asked, here's the conclusion I had, D-Mace, after mm-hmm. sort of absorbing it yesterday after the show, is the Titans had to know this was going to happen a lot.
Of course.
Now, I feel like maybe there's a lot of people that didn't give us feedback yesterday that said, yeah, okay, I'll pay it. I'm uh-huh. in. But I feel like they had to know a certain percentage of people this was going to price them out. And they are then going to turn and put out these prices to businesses, mm-hmm. corporations who have a deeper budget to be able to do something like this, the number of dollars it's going to cost you to make that investment. So I want to throw out there again and just continue to get more feedback of what this is going to look like, because in this day and age with a new stadium, it is the reality that it starts to cost more to go to the games. But it is also an issue of supply and demand is – who is going to end up with the tickets? Yeah. And is it the type of atmosphere you're still trying to create in the building? And how did they arrive at the conclusion of what they're going to sell? Because I think they could have made a really good PR pitch to try to keep the cost down for the existing diehard fans. Because it's going to be a really big deal to want to have a great atmosphere in a brand new stadium. And I think what's happening is a lot of people are either going to get bumped up to the upper deck or bumped out completely, and you're going to have a lot of non-diehard fans who end up with those premium seats. And those fans may not even be Titans fans. They could end up being a fan of just about any team. So how much is the money worth? And I realize this is an enormous investment. Mm-hmm. And the Titans are putting up some of the money to make sure this facility gets built. But it's a difficult question for any ownership group to answer. But the early returns, I still want to get the feedback of the fans. And so if this applies to you, if you're out there and around, you can call or text, obviously. Tell us what your experience has been so far. If you're a PSL holder, have you started to vet the process of going into the new stadium? And what have you found out? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. another texter says, texting is misconstrued, D-Mace. Keep going. Texting is misconstrued?
I guess it's...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I would say so.
You can't. Sometimes you read a text and you're like, what does this person mean?
What do you mean?
Are they mad?
Like, huh?
Yeah, I've struck a
question
cord.
Mark. Yeah.
Yep. We've got a couple more callers.
You've struck a landline cord.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
Okay. Doug is on the line with us. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. A long-time listener, been a long-time caller, and I have to agree. I say old-fashioned talk to them has gone out of style. I have a rule with my kids, and this started from where I would text them or I would call them, and they wouldn't answer. But when I text, they would. So one night I said, hey, y'all leave your phones on the mantle because obviously the phone part ain't working. I'm taking them to get repaired tomorrow. They said, what's wrong? I said, because when I call you, you don't answer. Hint, hint. So their phones sit all weekend and we had to talk to each other. Then Monday I said, you think your phones work now? Yes, Daddy, they work now. They work now. So I made them start talking. So I even told them, I said, when you want money, my phone rings. We don't want to talk. You text. So after two text messages, you better call. We don't just sit there and text back and forth. I got better things to do. So, yeah, okay. We talk. I tell my kids, don't call me. Don't text me when you want something. One time text me after I was out of the hospital and text, Daddy, how are you? I said, how are you going to ask me how am I in a text when you need to call me?
That
so
is
we have a rule. Do not text me when you want to know something. When you want money, my phone rings. It better ring when you want to talk to me.
Well said,
Thank
Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Excellent.
Appreciate it. Oh, man, I love
615-737-1025. Mm-hmm. I do, honestly. We've talked to our kids a lot about, because they've grown up with the phone. Mm-hmm. Like you and I, we didn't grow up. I don't know what age you were when you had your first cell phone. I was in
college.
Yeah, I was out of college.
I was my last year of college. My last year. That's when I had a cell phone.
Yeah.
Actually, it was after.
And you couldn't text on those phones, right?
Yeah, it was
right?
The second semester of my last year when I got it.
Yeah, and that phone, I'm sure, didn't text. You were just like, oh, my gosh, I can be in. It just cost a lot, walking around.
It just cost a lot of damn money to make phone calls. That's what it cost.
Yeah, it did. And so texting was, 10 years after that or something like that. So we were long gone. Mm-hmm. We were taught to communicate a certain way. The kids growing up, they've always been in the texting mode, So interpersonal skills, interpersonal communication, that's an important thing, skill to learn, right?
Yeah,
you got to learn it somewhere.
Grown folks are losing it. That's the problem. Grown folks that had it, they are losing it. Let's go to
We got Adam
Steve.
Here.
Steve. Yeah, let's go to Steve.
Okay, let's go to Steve. Steve, welcome in.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
And just calling to talk a little bit about this new pricing thing. And just say, I have a question. First of all, what would you say, take a husband and wife and just say they got two kids. How much would you say it would cost to, even the existing stadium, let's just say last year, go to a Titans game and maybe have, some refreshments, maybe buy a T-shirt.
Okay.
About $1,000.
What about parking?
Wife and a couple of kids.
Parking?
Yeah, that too, I guess. Yeah, I'm just costing to go enjoy a game, maybe.
Let's say north of $600. Because you're talking four tickets.
And where do you want to sit?
Well,
they're decent. Let's say they're decent seats. They're not the best seats, but they're not the cheap seats up at the above. They're decent seats.
And how much effort are you going to put into finding the best deal? Like some people just want to show up, buy whatever's out there and go in, right? Or So let's just say 70 bucks a ticket times four.
That's $228. Was it?
Yeah.
20?
Let's say 250 to 275 for the tickets. Let's say it's another 100 bucks. Let's say 25 bucks each for food. Another 50 bucks for a souvenir of some sort.
Parking.
Yeah. Another let's say 30 to 40 bucks for parking.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
You're talking.
Does that sound doable for a certain game? If it's not a
and that's on the cheap end. That's on the cheap end.
Yeah. That's
$470.
Yeah. That's about $400-$500. Yeah.
Well, let's just say round it off to say $500.
All right. Let's say $500.
All right. Now, how much do you think that's going to cost that same family or a different family? It doesn't matter. Same family size to go to one of the games in the new stadium.
It's going to be more.
Yeah, it's going
to
be more.
And what they're trying to market, what they're trying to market is it's going to be a much nicer place. Yeah. You're going to be willing to spend more.
I mean,
that's what they're
saying.
Watch a football
game, you know.
Well, yeah. That's kind of how I feel about it. I'm not, when I go to a football game, I'm not really that worried.
Fancy stuff.
I want to be able to go to a concession stand and not stand in line for the whole halftime or miss a bunch of plays during the game. That's key for me. But whether it's super nice or not, I'm not that worried about it. I'm sitting in a seat. I don't care if the seat's cushioned or not, really.
As long as I can get in and out of the stadium easy.
Yeah.
It's an easy in and out of the stadium.
Yeah,
that's
and for a football game, it's a little different than a baseball game or a hockey game. Football, it's like a bigger, longer day. You're planning your day around that probably. So I know traffic's going to be not perfect. All right, so what are you getting at here, Steve?
Well, here's the deal. Okay, so let's just say if it's average, the same, just ran, like I said, ran it off to $500, and it's when you get in this new stadium, it's probably going to be closer to $700, more than likely.
Oh, easy.
Would you, maybe eight. How many average income Tennesseans who are great football fans who watch football ever since its inception? You know, on TV and everything like that, can actually afford to do that.
I think this is
the
reality.
This is the question.
They will price out a lot of fans in this new stadium. It's already evident, and we can read some of the texts we got yesterday. And Steve, thanks for the call because we've got to get to a break. But he's asking, I think, a central question is, the reality is they're going to price some people out. Mm-hmm. What do we think of that, right? Because this is a decision that they're making. I get it. You got to pay for the stadium. But the level of increase, the early returns on this, the reaction to this is not good from fans that have been going to these games since that stadium opened in 1999. That's a long time.
Yeah.
So when we come back, we'll read you some of these texts, and we want to hear your experience if you've had one, and just what do you think about all this, that the price of going to a Titans game is going to change when this new stadium opens, and what's the right approach? What do you want to see the Titans do to stay connected to the fans so that we don't lose a home field advantage? We're all excited that they've got this new facility, but what's the right approach? Because we'll read you some of this stuff. It's a little eyebrow-raising, to say the least. 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We want to hear from you. We're coming back with more, just getting it cranked up on this Friday, here on Willie and D-Mace, 1025 The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards. You can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Willie and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Longtime NFL receiver for the Titans, Bengals,
Jets, and Texans.
Ravens, Jets, and Texas. Texans.
Jets, and Texans.
Yeah, don't say that too loud.
Jets and Texans.
Yeah. Especially not.
D-Mace was asked a couple
not
weeks
the
ago.
Jets one.
His favorite memory of the Jets, and the show almost had to end prematurely.
Yes, it
with
did.
That. He didn't.
They really were not. Again, the guys, they were cool. I'm not going to say they're not bad guys at all, not one bit. And I actually played with one or two before even going to the Jets, but it was just a different locker room, man. It was a different experience for me. That's what it was. So let's just say that.
615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's start it off with Eric, who is on line one. Then we've got Kyle on deck. And today, D-Mace has requested that priority be given to phone callers today? Because he wants to go old school today.
I want to go
appreciate a phone caller.
I want the phone meme.
Because he had some frustration with the whole texting thing.
Yes, just I'm getting tired of it.
All right, Eric, welcome to the show. Eric is always good for a phone call.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's true. Guys, I don't have a dad joke. Here's the thing. I tried my dad joke out on the call screen. He laughed. He said it's funny, but he said not to say it on air. It's not dirty, but he's going to tell y'all in the breaks of what my dad joke is. It's funny, but I just don't want to get in trouble and get y'all in trouble, so I'm not going to tell one. I'll definitely come up one eventually. But just a couple of things. First of all, about the stadium, and I think I've told you guys this. I am a season ticket holder, but it's getting to the point where I just don't have any of my idea how much longer I'm going to be able to do it because afford it. I know I'm not going to probably be in the new stadium, but I actually thought last year was going to be my last year, and then somebody stepped up and actually paying for my season tickets for this year. I didn't ask them to do it, so it's and most people I talked to in my section who's been season ticket holders since day one, they're going to continue to do it, but until we get to the new stadium, they probably won't do it anymore because they're just going to do it, I guess, for the next 3 years and then probably give it up. But my question, D-Man,
Eric, do you have a PSL?
Yeah, I did get, but mine was a PSL one time up until now. I paid about $1,000 when I originally got it. I haven't had to pay since then.
Right. It's a one-time thing, a PSL.
Yeah. But I know eventually, I don't know if I'll be able to afford the next one and to get season tickets with the new stadium. I just don't. I would love to, but I just don't think I'll be able to do it. Mm-hmm. But, D-Man, I did have one question for you. Yeah. Just what do you actually two-part. One, I didn't hear, what did you think about the signing of Jamal Adams? And also, what do you personally think the Titans are going to do this year? See, I think if this team is healthy and plays up to their potential, if everybody in the division does, I do think they've got a shot to finish third. I don't think they'll finish in front of the Texans, and I don't think they'll finish in front of Jacksonville, but I think they got a shot to finish ahead of the Colts. And I think minimum they'll get 7 wins. I don't think they're going to be in last place to have the worst record in football, like a lot of people think. Just want to get your thoughts on that and the sign of Jamal Adams. Guys, y'all take care. We'll talk again soon. Have a great weekend.
All right, thanks,
Eric. Appreciate it. We got a lot of calls here, so I'm going to get through these pretty quickly as far as my answers. Let me answer the Jamal Adams question quickly. I think it's a good signing. It was a, hey, if it works, to me, it was a, hey, if it works out signing, if he works out, great. If it doesn't, we didn't invest a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a league minimum.
Minimum 1 year. You know, it's hit or miss. Either we hit on it and we get good play out of him and he stays healthy. I think that's the biggest thing, staying healthy. If he doesn't, hey, listen, we paid 1 year. We tried it. It didn't work. Move on.
Yeah.
We'd try something
else. You could cut him at the end of training
exactly.
camp.
Exactly. Absolutely. You can't cut him at the end of training camp. And then bring another safety in, which there are a few safeties still out there. Simmons is one of them. Where do I think the Titans will finish? I think the Titans, face value, I think they are a 8-9 team. Is that right? 8-9?
That could be.
17
games?
Yeah. 8-9. They're an 8-9 team. But with that being said, I think they will have an opportunity to make the playoffs toward the end of the season. I think they still will be in the battle. They have an opportunity to finish second in this division, depending on how Houston does. Now, Houston has to stay healthy. If they stay healthy, I think Houston runs away with it. But if they don't, that's where the Titans must be healthy. They do have a chance to at least finish second. I'm not going to push for them winning the division. I'm not sure they're quite there yet. But I think they're going to be better than what people believe.
Okay. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to Kyle, who is on line 2. Kyle, welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys? Love talking to y'all. On the earlier show, they were talking about PK doesn't like it when we pull for players that used to play for the Titans like AJ and Mariota and all that. I have a problem with that. If it's a Scarbini, sure, whatever. We don't have to pull for them. But if it's an A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Steve McNair, Derrick Mason, Samari Rowe, I'm going to pull for those guys because those guys helped us win games. We've got a lot of great memories with those guys, so I'm not willing to just forget, you know, go take O'Galler out back and shoot him. I'm not that guy. And I appreciate y'all having me follow Eric, man. He's the best, so it's kind of hard. But I got one more question. Will Levis, man, he is the key to this season, and I am so excited to watch him sling it. Do y'all think he could be a top 10 quarterback this year if that line holds up? I don't see any reason why he couldn't.
All right, Kyle, that is a huge question there. We got a lot of people that want to hit D-Mace up with the question here. 615-737-1025. It's a really good question about Derrick Henry, though, especially this year.
Yes.
Is it okay to root for Derrick Henry on the Ravens?
Okay, listen. If you have been rooting for Derrick Henry for the last 8-9 years, well, let's just say since he's been a starter, because there were some people that wasn't rooting for him when he wasn't a starter. They were like, what did I draft him? He's not running the football. Kept telling you, he'd be fine. He ended up being fine. Went and talked with Eddie, got some things straight, ended up being fine. But if you have been cheering for Derrick Henry for the last 9 years, continue to cheer for him. He deserves that much.
He's a guy that's easy to cheer for.
Absolutely. Whether he goes to Baltimore or whatnot, you cheer for him. I want to see him do well.
Yeah. Now, if he's playing against the Titans, you want the Titans to win.
Yeah, but I still would like for him to do well.
I'm not about – it's funny. Like, Chris Mason always talks about when he went from the Predators to the Blues – he got the treatment. He got, and Thomas Fokun, this happened to him too. Goalies that used to play for the Predators, you know how the Predators heckle the opposing team's goalie. They did it to Thomas Fokun. They did it to Chris Mason. But Mace was like, look, I'd have been offended if you didn't do that, right? So there's a little bit, like, you can love somebody, always admire how they carry themselves, want them to do well, but still root against them when they come back to town, if they're playing your team, right? There's a you can do both.
You can do both. You can walk and chew bubblegum, okay, people? If Derrick Henry is with the Baltimore Ravens now, you still can wish him well. You still can root for him. Even when he comes here to Nashville, I hope that he does well, but not too well, okay? Don't go out there and rush for 200 yards, okay? Don't rush for 150. Just give them 100 yards, okay? And maybe one touchdown, not two. That's Derrick Henry doing well. I don't want him to come in here and dominate, and they win. Just do well. So for those of you who have cheered for Derrick Henry for the last 9 years, continue to cheer for him. It's not his fault that he ended up leaving. He wanted to stay, just like Steve wanted to stay, just like Samari wanted to stay, just like myself wanted to stay. But in the world of football, sometimes it just doesn't happen.
It came to light in that Athletic article yesterday that the Titans were on the verge of trading him to the Ravens last year at the deadline for a fourth-round pick. How do we feel about that? That's an interesting one. We may have to ask D-Mace that question here in our next segment. But we got a couple more callers I want to get to here. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to Malika, who's got a question for D-Mace. Malika, welcome in.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Derrick Mason. It's really nice talking to you. I've been a fan since I lived in Illinois since 2002. I just wanted to know, what's the hardest thing about being a football player besides practicing and leaving your family? How hard is it mentally just to, you know, especially when your team's losing? And I just wanted to know. Thanks for taking my call. Tighten up.
All right.
Thank you, Malika. I appreciate it. It's a good question.
Hardest thing mentally when your team is losing.
Yeah, and she was just saying the hardest thing, period. You're right. You hit on a few things, you know, the family aspect and stuff like that. So those things are always they can become a little stressful at times. But professional athletes, I'm going to say that a blanket statement with this. Professional athletes, and I don't know how it is in every other facet other than sports and here a little bit with radio. Professional athletes, it's the only job where you are getting graded every minute of the day. Hear what I say. Professional athletes are the only people that are judged about their job, on how well they're doing their job, every single minute of the day they are at their job, or every day they are being judged. Some are ultimately they're trying to replace. Guys walk into that building every day in every athletic realm, professional. If you're not one of those top 5 people or 10 people, every day you walk into that building, you are worried about being replaced. There's no other business like that, at least not to my knowledge, where you every day you're walking in and they're looking to replace you every day. That is stressful in itself. There's no there is no security in the sense. Again, now, if you're one of these top 10, top five players on each team, you have a sense of security because they paid you signing bonuses and this and that. So there's money tied into it, big money tied into it. But for all the rest of the guys, they're walking in that building every day knowing that they're being graded. That's stressful. So that's a part of it. And then losing, you know, because it's a team thing. It's not just one area a lot of times. It's more than one area. You get one area fixed, and then you got to deal with another area. That's sort of the frustrating part, too, that you can do everything that you possibly need to do out there, whether it be in a classroom, on a football field, or baseball field, whatever. You could be doing your job. If that person on the other side of you or next to you not doing their job, it's going to be a long day. It's going to be an extremely long day.
All right, let's get to Jack before the break. 615-737-1025. Jack, welcome to the show.
Jack.
Hey, Jack.
I'm sorry, fellas. Took me a minute to quit fumbling my phone.
Go ahead, Jack.
See, this is. But you're on the phone.
But you're on the phone. That's
to
all D-Mates I want.
On the phone. Exactly. This is good.
Hey, you know, all you got to do is ask yourself: if the Ravens come here, do you think when he introduced Godzilla that he'll get anything less than a standing ovation?
Absolutely not. He's getting
not.
A standing ovation.
Ovation.
Yeah.
I'd bet my paycheck on it. What I really called to ask D-Mace, I watched the best of D-Hop, his best plays from last year, and I'm watching all these, and every time he'd catch it and somebody would come in on him, he never gets nailed. It's like he would turn sideways or some way to kind of slip it. So how much of that is God-given talent plus a veteran's wisdom?
Good question.
Thank you, Jack. Thanks for
Jack,
the call.
Thanks for the question. And thanks for the call. Appreciate it. He's Gumby. You can't get a good hit on him. Guys like D-Hop, they master the art of, you know, getting small, getting thin, not taking those big hits. Marvin Harrison was great at that. I don't think he ever, at least not that I saw, took a big hit. If he did, it was rare. Why? Because Marv would get the ball, and Marv would get up the field, and the minute that journey was over with, he's ducking down on the ground. So it's sort of a art that you sort of get used to, getting what you can, getting down, not taking those huge hits. Wide receivers don't need to take big hits if they don't have to. I remember the late Mike Heimerdinger, excellent offensive coordinator while he was here. I owe, you know, a part of my career to him really believing that I can do the things that he wanted me to do. But he told me, he was like, listen, because he saw that I was always trying to get that extra yards because that was my mentality. He was like, Mace, we need you. You need to get down. He said, we'll get, unless it's third and one or fourth and something, and you have to get that extra, get it. But he said, yeah, beside that, we need you. Get down. We don't need you taking extra hits. And it took me a minute for that to register, but he was right. I started to watch all these other receivers, great receivers in the league, catching the ball, getting down, get what they can, getting down, not being quote-unquote tough. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Because he was right. Because you're taking unnecessary hits that you don't have to take for what, an inch that you could possibly get? We had a 250-pound running back in the backfield. If he can't get it, then what the hell?
Availability's big. All right, exactly. When we come back, we've got a lot more questions for D-Mace. This is our Ask D-Mace segment here on 102.5 The Game, 615-737-1025. You want to ask D-Mace, call or text on our line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ask D-Mace moves into its second segment here. 615-737-1025. We've got a lot of people that have reached out to D-Mace today. Somebody even said TD from Nashville. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know if this is Teron Davenport TD or, you know, there's a lot of name combinations. You know, Tom mm-hmm. Davis. It could be
Tony Dungy.
Maybe the former Sound relief pitcher Tim Dillard, who's now a Milwaukee Brewers announcer. Mm-hmm. But he said, this TD says, just where is the Derek Mason official New York Jets jersey?
I gave it to Chase. I gave it to the suit. I think that the suit.
So
the
maybe
suit
it
loves,
was TD. Yeah. Maybe this is an inside job.
Exactly. The suit always tells that story. It's like, you know, he tells it. You know, he wanted the jersey. I was like, okay, cool. I get a suit, the jersey, no problem. But I gave him the Jets jersey because I didn't want it. But then it could be, you know, you keep it. Hey, it could be worth some money someday because that was the only time that I was a Jet. That was the only jersey in circulation. So Chase has it now.
That would be a
one
really interesting collection.
It's
to come
one of
up
one.
With.
There you go.
Our buddy Tyler Kepner had a great trip. He's in Cooperstown, mm-hmm. and he went all around to the shops there, and he took $100, and he got all the trinkets. He just went to all the shops and found a collection of mm-hmm. just really odd things that were interesting to him. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could come up with a collection of jerseys of a bunch of great players mm-hmm. who you have a jersey for on the team that they are least known for. Like, nobody would yes. have a Derek Mason Jets jersey.
No, wouldn't have a Derek Mason Houston Texans jersey.
Right, but if you had one, that'd be a pretty unique item exactly. to have. And so, like, if you had a Neil O'Donnell Bengals jersey, right? Remember, he was on the exactly. Bengals yeah, right before he came minute. To yeah. the Titans? Like, there's a bunch of people you could come up with that for.
Here's one. Wes in Clarksville. D-Mace, if you were still playing now, which coach would you want to play for and which current quarterback would you want to be a receiver for? The coach that I would want to play for, I played for him when I was in the NFL. He's still in the NFL, and that's John Harbaugh.
You like what he's about?
Yeah, I like what he's about. I know him. Still have a relationship with him. So I would play for John Harbaugh. No knock to Brian Callahan. I mean, I would love to play here too. It's at home or whatnot, but I would love to play for John Harbaugh if I was to come back into the NFL again. Quarterback, well, you got to stay with the theme, Lamar. I would want to play with Lamar, not taking away from Patrick Mahomes because I can't play for John and then not play for Lamar. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I can't say I want to play for John, but then, I want to play for Kansas. I would play with, you know, Patrick Mahomes. That's a no-brainer. Any receiver that is coming up or any NFL now would love to play with Patrick Mahomes. So that's a given. But outside of that, yeah, a Lamar Jackson. So we have twofold.
I don't like the Ravens.
I know you don't, Willie. I mean, I get it. I get it.
But you know what? I do respect the way they do things. It's pretty evident that they have
They're a winning organization.
They have connectivity from the top down, and there's a reason why they're consistently in the race. They are smart. Exactly. They know what they're doing. Still doesn't mean I like them.
It still don't mean I like them. Hopefully that's where the Titans are getting. We thought they were there with Vrabel and John and things went left. So hopefully they can rekindle that and you know, get back to their winning ways.
Let's see. Somebody just weighed in and said, I'll cheer for Derrick Henry as long as he doesn't play the Titans. Okay. Let me get another Ask D-Mace. I had a good one here. Mm-hmm. D-Mace, this is from Stephanie. What is your favorite restaurant in Nashville?
Favorite restaurant in Nashville? I don't have really I love Italian food. There's a really good Italian place right off of, the street that Hillsborough turns into going through Vandy, like, not the
21st Avenue. Yeah, 21st. Hillsborough Village.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right off of 21st. It's like as soon as you pass sort of like Vandy, as soon as you pass Vandy going north, and then there's another restaurant, then there's a hotel and stuff, and then you kind of veer off to the right.
Yeah.
You go down another street. There's a really nice Italian
place. And then you're heading towards downtown. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going downtown. It's not downtown.
So it's right before midtown.
Yeah, it's right before you get to all those bars on Demumbrium.
Right.
Right there. But it's not before you get to the roundabout. It's way before you get to the roundabout.
Right, right.
I forgot the name. And if anyone knows the name of that Italian restaurant over there,
is it
authentic
Luogo?
Italian restaurant.
Luogo?
Valentino's?
Might be Valentino's.
That one's been there for a long time.
But I love that.
It moved close by. It's on the other side of West End now, but
I think so.
I'm trying to think. Midtown's got a lot of good spots.
Yes.
If you know where you're going in there, because all of that construction, it has really changed over the last 10 or 15 years. Man, but Midtown's got a lot of good spots for sure.
So that would be one of the, and I can't even remember the name of the restaurant, but it's an Italian restaurant, which I love Italian food.
Okay, we got to ask D-Mace, why are so many people so high on Texas all of a sudden to win the SEC and dethrone Georgia as the top dog?
Because Steve Sarkisian did a wonderful job at building up depth. That's all they've been talking about at SEC Media Day in regards to Texas and his team, the depth that they have on that team. Mia Kimes.
Yeah.
And Paul Feinbaum, and Mia was talking about the depth and watching them in practice, and they had, you know, an offense versus the defense on one end, another offense versus defense on another end, and another. So they built up the depth. So, you know.
Robert texted and says, all this Ravens love, it hurts my heart, D-Mace. It hurts my heart.
I mean, I got love. Listen, I have love for the Titans.
He gave
it
an LOL.
I got love for the Titans, but listen, I got love. It's like my mother and my grandmother. I got love for both, you know?
D-Mace, when did football shift from being something that was for the love of the game to a, quote, job?
It should never become a job for you. And let me repeat that. In the world of football or basketball or baseball or hockey, it should never become a job. If it becomes a job, in my mind, you need to leave. Because the only reason I say that is because this is something you've been doing, majority of them, you know, whether it be basketball, baseball, football, hockey, you've been doing this since you were a little kid. You didn't consider it a job then. You loved it. You shouldn't consider it a job now. You do have a job to do. Yes, I get that part. But you are playing because all the while you loved it. Why? Because of the essence of the game. The only change is you're making a lot of money doing something that you enjoy doing. You never considered a job. I don't consider being on a radio job. I don't. I'm not sure Willie considers talking about the Predators on television a job. He enjoys it.
I always talk, when I talk to young people, I'd say, you know, if you can find something you love to do, you can't put a price on that.
Absolutely. You don't consider it a job. It's just I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. You know, I do it for free, but don't do it for free. But I'm just saying it's like one of those things. I do it for free if I needed to.
All right, we got two more on the restaurant here. D-Mace, what about Fazoli's or Olive Garden? Is that what you were talking about down
hell
there?
No and hell no.
What's that? Giovanni's? Is that the?
I think it's Giovanni's. Yep, that's what it is, Giovanni's.
And another person is giving a shout out to Maggiano's. We're naming every Italian restaurant.
Maggiano's, no.
We got you covered on the full gamut here. I got no problem with Maggiano's.
I used to love Maggiano's, but that's when I was 20 and didn't really know about, you know, like authentic Italian food.
The homegrown, family-owned spot.
Maggiano's is not homegrown.
Yeah. Now, Nick, I know about that homegrown. I've tasted it.
You know about the sauce. Mm, the sauce ain't sweet. You know it's right.
So I got to go to an authentic place, man.
All right, let me sneak in Bill
for
the last call here. And then we'll get to Mitch Light is going to join us to talk some college football. We'll get more into that Texas-Georgia thing for sure with him. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Willie. Coco's Italian restaurant is a good one, but
That is a good one.
Coco's
Italian Market. That's out on the west side.
Charlotte Avenue.
Okay, let me write that down.
Give that a shot. The lasagna bolognese is great, but Willie, my son has a minor league card of you in Canada.
Nice.
You're a very young left-handed hitter. I don't know what Derek Mason might think that is work, but. Hey, it's worth a lot to us, man. We always get a kick. Remember you being announced coming into the game out of Vanderbilt.
All right.
And I love the show. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Appreciate it. Hold on to that.
Yeah,
hold on to that card.
Those things are rare these days. The Medicine Hat Blue Jays, baby.
Do you have one, Willie, of yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a few.
Laminated?
I have a frame. There are four.
Mm-hmm.
Four? Yeah, four. There was Topps and Fleer, I think. There were two companies that made them. Minor league cards, the team set.
This is what I'm asking.
So there are four of them, and I have them framed in my.
This is what I'm asking you. Did they come frame or did Aaron frame them?
Man, that's a great question. I think Aaron had them framed.
I knew it.
It wasn't me.
I knew it. I knew it wasn't you.
Yeah. But it is fun to have that.
So the guy
the stats
called.
On the back are really not all that great. So I have the pictures.
So as long as you had a picture, Willie, that's all it matters.
When you put it up on the mantle, you're like, oh, it's just the front of it. Yeah, no, the back.
The stats are respectable on the back. They're respectable. It's not anything to write home about.
Though. Who needs to talk about stats? Nobody.
Yeah, that's right.
Stats are for statisticians. Exactly. Not for the fun. Does Bill have number 5? Is that what it sounds like?
I'm not sure if Bill's got the Medicine Hat Blue Jays or the St. Catharines Blue Jays. Those were my 93 and 94 seasons. Mm. That's collector's items. We're getting a long way removed of that. Hey, we can have a 30th anniversary, the 94 St. Catharines Blue Jays.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't do so well for them. That was the end of the line,
oh,
baby.
Man.
All right. Mitch Light joins us next here on 102.5 The Game.